Hey everyone, this is John.
This is Wes.
And this is the Nintendo Show, the best in Nintendo podcast on the internet. We're without Ryan. This is kind of like an impromptu show. Like, not super impromptu, but I sent you a text yesterday. Like, hey, you want to do a show tonight? Like, meaning Monday night, it is now Tuesday. And we're going to do it yesterday. And then we ended up delaying a day. So, you know.
That turned into, I got to the car dealer around a little after 4, and I left a little after 9.
Oh, jeez.
So it was just...
Oh, my God.
It was an absolute wreck, and it was a nightmare. And I got home exhausted. And I was like, I do not have the strength in me to go through a recording right now. I just don't.
we were talking a little bit before recording about, like, you got a new car.
Yeah, I got a new car.
And like, well, you leased your previous car, you leased another car, and they gave, like, you had some equity built up, which I didn't know was a thing for leasing cars, because I've never done it. But, like,
it's... I guess it was probably just them trying to, lock the deal in, because we were fining them a little bit.
Hmm. Oh, okay.
But it was that, and they allotted 36,000 miles for 3 years.
Right.
I was at 18. The car,
like, half.
A very faint dent in the hood. And I'm guessing that was from, like, I don't know, like an acorn falling or something. I have no idea where it came from. And, like, that was it. Like, the car looked brand new. When I was gone in Belgium visiting your brother, my brother-in-law actually got it detailed for me.
Oh, nice.
So the inside was just freshly cleaned and everything. Like, the car looked brand new. Like, I just took the thing off the lot. So, I mean, they're like, all right, we need to get this guy into another car. Because he gives us back these amazing cars that we can sell.
So, yeah, they can turn around and get
good money, put a bit of value
out of it.
Exactly.
So, I forgot where I was going with this. Oh, by the way, yeah, you were there. So you were there for 5 hours.
Yeah, I was there really long. It was, we left around, probably not quite 5 hours, probably more like 4, but still really long, because we went to a different hauler dealership, and the quote they were giving us was like $30 more than the quote we got from the last one before. Hmm. And that one was like over a half hour of a drive, and then we had to drive over a half hour to get to the other place, and then we had to actually go down the little nuances of the deal. And then my dad and I, because my dad's real aggressive when it comes to cars, so I'm like, yeah, you're coming with me to do this car. We're just sitting there for like an hour, and they're like, 15 minutes, we're going to get the car, because I took one of the floor models. They're going to get the car cleaned out and everything, and then financing just took forever to get available to take us in.
Hmm.
Like, once I was in talking with financing, I was in there for 10 minutes, and then I left, but it just took forever. Ever for them to get me in there.
Now, see, I think that's a tactic.
I think so too.
Especially, like, if you have someone who's like a hard negotiator, like your dad, like, they'll let you sweat it out for a little while, so you just want to leave, so you're not going to try to wheel and deal a little bit more at the finance table.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, cool. You got a car.
Yeah, it's nice. I'm paying a little bit more than I did last time, but last time, We had a little bit more time. I kind of waited too long on doing this. I only had like a little less than a month left on my lease, so I kind of needed to get one.
Hmm.
But last time, like, we really made the guy sweat with us, and like he multiple over like the course of 2 weeks, he like was texting us, was like, "How about this deal? How about this?" And he found this really like raw base model of a Civic. Like, it didn't even have tint on the windows. Like, it was just bare bones.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got really good deal with that guy. This one's like a regular one. It's got the tint and it's got all the stuff to it and everything. So it was a little bit more.
Do they even make cars with like manual windows anymore, or is it all like power windows?
No, it's all power windows. I mean, they probably... Oh no, they still do. They still do.
Really?
I had a boss years ago who would only get cars with manual windows.
Hmm.
Because they have fear of driving into a lake.
All right.
So they wanted to be able to get out of the car. Like, okay. That was their reasoning.
That's an irrational fear.
Yeah, it was just kind of obscure. I was like, all right.
I mean, we live in Orlando. If you roll down the windows, the gator's are going to get you.
Exactly.
Choose your death, drown or gator. Anyway, so this is kind of a mini show, because we usually open up the month with Pokemon talk, not car lease talk.
Yeah.
So, but we're actually tomorrow, Wednesday, a time of recording here, we are going to do a quiz game. but I wanted to get a couple of topics off the table. Because quiz games, depending on how intricate Ryan gets and how long we take, they can be a bit of a pain in the butt to edit. So
yeah, Ryan kind of goes off the rail when it comes to these. According to the Bible,
he tries to set up a narrative within and they're so non sequitur too. It's like trying to make sense of it, but ends up having the opposite effect. Anyway, we'll talk shit about him as long as he's not here. But I've been playing a little bit more Pokemon. Like I mentioned on last week's show, I finished up the main narrative or the main progression beats that you have to get through in the Isle of Armor expansion. I finally got my Zorua. I'm terrible at pronouncing that name. The dark type little guy from Gen 5. Yep.
That's cool that they brought him in. He's a lot of fun.
Yeah, kind of like this glass cannon of a dark type who's got that fun little ability where he creates that illusion that he's a different Pokemon in your party when you first send him out. But I ran into this guy. I had a tough time finding him because he's one of the weather conditional Pokemon. He appears in one area. My Pokedex was saying he only appears in the forest during windy weather. So I checked back a couple times a day to see if the weather had changed, and I finally it had not changed in that specific area in that forest to the windy weather. So I was just kind of walking around looking for little diglets that were buried into the ground, and there was an area that was windy, and I just saw one pop out in the wild. I was like, yes, thank you, I will catch you, and then I'll just go breed you a couple of times to fill out the living decks. But it was weird because he did not pop up in the prescribed area that the Pokedex said he would. Which is strange. To have an unreliable Pokedex like that. That's not what the Pokedex is for. The Pokedex is supposed to be this is where you find it. And I don't know. It's just very, very weird. I've never seen that happen in a Pokemon game outside of Let's Go, where you have your Pokedex of where things are going to pop up, but if you chain catches together, you'll have different weird stuff pop up in different areas.
I messed a bit with that. Not a whole lot.
Yeah.
But I did mess around a bit with it. I got a few guys. I started a brand new game. And I'm just getting a couple guys here and there to get me going. I don't know what kind of team I want to run yet, but I want to use that Cup Fu at level 1 and go. Or whatever level you get them.
Yeah, that'd be fun. I think get them 5, something like that.
Yeah. I could not beat the old man. Because my guys were a little too low.
What level did he come at you with?
One or two above me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, just slightly above me. But I only had two Pokemon on me. I was overconfident. So right now I'm I gotta train these few guys up a little bit. And
what starter did you go with?
I grabbed the Scorbunny.
Nice.
Because I never used one. Mm-hmm. So I just grabbed that guy. I kind of regret doing what I did, because I actually deleted my Galar form run. And I wish I just went off of that, because I was pretty far in it, but I thought I'd just run with the Scorbunny and see how he goes, and I don't know, maybe I'll try an old fighting team or something, I don't know.
I like Scorbunny. That Cub Fu, if you're looking for a basic elemental balance, you could make him a water fighting. Mm-hmm. It was a pretty cool combo. Because, there are other dark fightings in the game, this Cub Fu, when he evolves.
At level 70.
Yeah. That's the prescribed level. You can go in there. Because what we basically have to do is you have to run a gauntlet of trainers, and they'll have Pokemon that range from level 65 to 68. So it said you should be at level 70 to go through. You're like, well, yeah, maybe. But I think if you went in there at level 60 or even 55 and just pumped them full of X defense and kept them alive with potions, you could probably pull it off.
Oh.
But yeah, but when it does evolve, it has pseudo legendary stats.
Oh, gosh.
So while there are other dark fighting types, Scrafty is a Pokemon that I really like, but he does not have pseudo legendary stats.
No.
Pangoro is a Pokemon that I really like, does not have pseudo legendary stats. But the only other water fighting I can think of is Keldeo, who's an event Pokemon, so he does have those legendary stats. But anyway, when you finish this, you know, minor spoilers for this little expansion. When you finish it, you get gifted a Porygon.
That's pretty cool.
And so Porygon's back in there. And you, there are, like the things that you need to evolve them scattered around the island. So you
can get up
to your Porygon Z. And also, you'll unlock a feature where the first Pokemon in your party follows you around again.
Oh, cool. So you have to do that to unlock that?
Yeah.
That's stupid. Yeah.
But yeah, it is kind of like a weird thing, like complete this part of the game and then get this like little feature. They should have just... Yeah, it's cool if they have it there, but it should be something that's available in every Pokemon game at the beginning if you want it, you know? Because sometimes it's cool to see Pokemon following you around. I think that, you know, it could stand to be polished up a little bit more because, you know, like in just like your pixel art Pokemon games, like in Pokemon Heart Gold, it just followed like one square behind you. Whereas like these things are fully rendered in polygons in this polygonal world, so sometimes they get a little bit caught behind, so like I have to like warp up to you to catch up. Or you know, if you get on your bike and start like riding across the water, they of course cannot walk across the water to follow you. I don't know what they would do if a water type Pokemon does follow behind you. I never tried that. I should give it a shot.
I mean, obviously these aren't rendered at actual scale though. Like you can't have a Wailord flying around and just.
I think, I don't know how much to scale they are rendered. I think they are rendered a little bit to scale. But yeah, Wailord would not fit in some areas. I'm going to try that. As soon as we're done recording, I'm going to go try to have a Wailord.
Go get a Wailord and bust that out.
Yeah.
I did see them out there because, you know, I don't have a bike at all, let alone a water bike. But I did see them out there swimming around. I was like, that's really cool. That's really cool.
So... last week, when we talked a little bit about the expansion, we also talked about the Pokemon news and people's disappointment around not getting a Gen 4 remake. So I thought it'd be kind of cool to talk about like what we would want if they did remake Gen 4, which I think they will at some point. But you know, maybe there'll be a Switch game, maybe it'll be on whatever's after Switch. But I think that in the timeline of Nintendo systems, that there will be eventually a Gen 4 remake. So, anything like pop up in your mind immediately? Like this is something that needs to change, or they should change.
It's been years since I played it. I can't quite even remember if there's anything. I'm like, this got to change.
Well, I have a couple
other than the ridiculously long loading times.
And that was first on my list too. Which it's something that almost goes without saying, but I think it is worth mentioning again that when Gen 4 came out on the DS, it was not optimized yet for the system, and they eventually did get things running better on the original DS, but there was quite a bit of lag. Even if you turned off animations in battle, it wasn't snappy. It wasn't like press the command, do the command. There was always like this sort of slow motion. Even like having Pokemon HP drain after they take damage. You know, there was always that bit of sluggishness to all of the fights. I think that, also things that they should do in Pokemon games going forward, I think that all of the routes in the game should be treated more like wild areas, where, you have your Pokemon running around, you have a bit more free range of movement rather than having, your prescribed path. And I think that Isle of Armor does a good job of proving that sort of thing could work, because you basically have, this large general area and different routes within it that are kind of gated off by literal gates or bridges or caves. But each little section in it does a good job of having you be able to go anywhere you want to go, pick up anything on the ground, and just have lots of different things to dissect and look around it. And I think they could especially make it work with Gen 4, because Gen 4 is like such a winding path of a game. There's a lot of backtracking and crisscrossing over the same paths over and over again. I think it can really lend itself well to a more open game. And of course, there are places you have to gate off, and you do that in Gen 4 with surfing. So, as long as you have your surfing bike back, that could work really well. But they might have to get more creative with how they block off certain areas if they don't want you to go to yet. Or, maybe they they think a little bit more modern, and instead of having like blocking you off from certain areas with, you know, things like HMs or literal roadblocks, they just make gym leaders and Pokemon trainers scale to your level so that you can go to any gym that you feel like in any order.
Yeah, I think that'd be really interesting. Yeah.
If you're building a team that, you know, the rock type gym is the first gym in Gen 4, you know, might give you a hard time, you skip over it and just move on. And or, you know, if you just feel like doing the last gym first, walking all the way there and doing that, and then working your way backwards and seeing what the rock type gym would look like when you face off of them at level 70 or whatever, then it might be kind of fun to give yourself that freedom. I think that, of course, HMs would have to be gone. HMs are a relic of the past. How long has it been since we actually had HMs?
Been this gen, that gen, Gen 4. Gen
true.
5 got rid of them.
Well, Gen 5 did have them, but they were not necessary for progression.
No, they weren't. I mean, you still could use, like, the only one of them really was useful, though, was Surf, because there was a couple of areas you could Surf to.
Yeah, the cut was still a thing, but it was only like to find like little bonus items that were lying around. Oh, Waterfall was in the game. It was useful for a couple of points. Like, Waterfall was a funny one in Gen 5 because it was most useful in the post-game. But yeah, HMs, I'm glad those are gone. They should stay gone. So, something that I think they should do in Gen 4 is, if you remember Gen 4, it was 150 Pokemon, and that was like your Pokedex until you beat the Elite Four, and then it opened up to the National Dex, which was like 400 and something Pokemon at the time.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of different evolutions and pre-evolutions to kind of flesh out the National Dex as it was to that point. So I think that they should have a larger Pokedex, maybe even like the full Gen 1 through 4 National Dex available at the beginning, or at least a really good chunk of it, a majority of it. So that, you know, you have more Pokemon that you can choose from. Because one of the things about Gen 4, and I mentioned this last week, is that you have like 50% at the beginning of the game original Pokemon, and then the other 50% returning Pokemon, of course. But you had a lot of the mainstays like Abra and Magikarp and Geodude and Machop and Zubat. A lot of these older Pokemon that have been around forever that, you know, at a certain point, you just get sick of seeing Zubats in every cave that you go into.
Exactly.
So,
which was another great thing about Gen 5.
Precisely. And we've talked about this in the past. Like, I really think that the intention of Gen 4 was to bookend all of the Pokedex to that point, and then going forward, they were thinking, okay, now we're going to start completely over, we're going to have completely new Pokedex, and we're going to build off of that. But then Black 2, White 2 kind of shot that theory to shit, because they started adding old Pokemon back in. But what I think, having that larger Pokedex from the beginning in Gen 4, I think would give you the bigger variety of stuff to choose from, like more interesting stuff to choose from. But then you can also like account for that in the progression of the game, so that, you know, your rivals or your villains in the game have different things to choose from. And like, hey, maybe that Elite Four Fire type trainer in Gen 4 can have more than two Fire type Pokemon. Because if you remember, in Gen 4, there's a trainer in the Elite Four who only uses Fire-type Pokemon, but
there only was two.
Right. It was Rapidash and Infernape, and then he also had, like, a Lopunny and a Steelix on his team, I think it was.
And, that was bad.
Yeah, like, why would you pick a Fire-type trainer on the Elite Four when there's only two available? It was very strange. But I think that something that they should do, if they do this Gen 4 remake, is use this as an opportunity to again try to bookend the original four generations and tell people from the beginning, okay, these Pokemon are going to be in this game, the original Gens 1 through 4, but then we're going to put them on the shelf for a while. They'll be back, but you're probably not going to see them in a mainline game for a generation or two. And actually try to build out a new Pokedex, like either leapfrogging off of Gen 5 or doing a total original Pokedex again.
Yeah, I would love to see that in a completely original Pokedex.
Yeah.
That would be really good to see.
Yeah, and I think, you know, as long as you let it be known, like, hey, these originals are going to not be in the next game. They will be back in future games, so don't panic. But, you know, I just think we've seen enough Charizard for a while. You know?
Yeah, but you know people how they're reacted about just Shield and Sword not having the full Pokédex.
Whatever. What are they going to do? Not buy it?
Shield and Sword did fine.
Yeah, like it sold like 18 million.
Yeah,
it did. Doing crazy good. But yeah, I mean, I think that Gen 4, as Ryan was saying the other day, it's not like one of the top tier Pokemon generations, but you know, it's still a really good game. But I think
that I enjoyed it.
Because it's not like top tier, it's not Gen 2, it's not Gen 5, there's a lot of room for improvement. So I think you could take it in a lot of different interesting ways.
You got a giant skunk that breathes fire. I mean, come on, what else could you want?
Yeah, what an interesting one, because Skunk Tank, what is he, a Poison Dark?
Yeah, and then he breathes fire.
And then you could, you also have Drapion, who's also a Poison Dark in that generation. But yeah, Skunk Tank, well, he gets to that level and then just learns Flamethrower.
Which is great.
Totally out of left field. But yeah, Gen 4 is a pretty good gen for poison types, because you have Skunk Tank, you got Drapion, you got Toxicroak, who's fun.
Rosalia got a evolution in gen.
Oh, yeah, that's right, Roserade.
Roserade. Mm-hmm.
And that's one you didn't need to expand to the National Dex in order to get.
No. I actually did a run-through in that game, just pure poison team. It was great. I enjoyed it.
Cool.
I had Drapion, Toxicroak, I had the Skunk Tank, Roserade. Can't remember what else I had.
Probably a Kingler.
Probably.
Alright.
Kingler needs another evolution. Not a Gigantamax, he just needs another evolution.
They're pretty fun. That's something that I wish they did more often now, is preforms or like a post-evolution. What was the last one we got that was a new evolution from a previous generation? I can't think of anything past Gen 4, because Gen 5 didn't. Gen 6, and then once you get to like Gen 7 and 8, it's more about alternative forms rather than extra steps.
And I love evolution. That Tangela randomly made it into this.
Oh, right, Tangela and Tangela.
I came across a Tangela and Tangela in the wild the other day. I was like, what is this? What is this Pokemon? Is this new?
It's so funny. Like, I'd love to like listen to their process of who they're going to pick to add in or add back in next, and just see what the conversation is like what sort of things they take into account when picking things, because of all the grass types you could throw back in, like Tangela, okay, sure,
I'm gonna make it work.
So there was an Animal Crossing update that we talked about when we did news, and I actually have engaged with it now. There is swimming. You can jump. You can either like wade into the water off your beach, or like pick a rock or a dock and jump into the water. And you can go around, and pretty much all you're doing in there is like there are like little bubbles that rise up out of the ocean. You dive down and you pick up a sea creature, and you can donate it to a museum, you can sell it. It's basically just another thing to fill up your collection pages. And so far,
just right there.
You can cook it, sure. So far, that's the only thing that I've seen. Or I've been able to engage with when swimming around. Swimming is a little bit slow. You know, you have like a little dash button to swim faster, but you know, it's not something where you're just able to like zip through really quick and collect a few things and get out. You're like having to actually commit some time. So like my play time in Animal Crossing since this update has gone from like 20 minutes a day to like 45 minutes a day, because I'll go into the water because I'm obsessively collecting things in that game now. But I think that one thing that you need to do in order to like actually go into the water and go swimming is you need to be wearing the correct equipment. You have to be wearing a wetsuit.
I bet this is where Ryan's changing rod
precisely
comes in handy.
Precisely. It does come in handy. Now, when I was first setting this up, because I really hadn't used the wand that he gave me until swimming was an option, I was trying to set it up to where I can just use the wand to quickly change to the wetsuit, but for some reason that doesn't work. Maybe I was doing something wrong. I don't know. So basically,
you probably were.
Possibly. But basically what I ended up doing was I'm just permanently wearing the wetsuit, and I'm using the wand to change into regular clothes when I'm out of the water. So when I you know, disengage the clothes that I have on and just automatically in the wetsuit, which is great because it doesn't end up taking up more space in my inventory, which is really the goal of that one. You don't have to walk around with all this stuff. You can just use magic. So, but the biggest thing that's been happening on my island is the bear that me and Dez hate has moved away.
Oh, wow. How sad is Mika? Is she okay?
Mika doesn't know yet.
Oh.
We haven't told her.
Are you going to sit her down and talk to her like, you know, the dog died? Like, I don't... like.
Maybe. She might just notice one day.
Here's a piece of cake. Like, I don't... the bear's with Jesus now? No, the bear went to live on a farm.
Well, I mean, we didn't murder him. We've tried, but we couldn't. But so he just doesn't live there anymore. So we'd have to tell her, like, yeah, he had to move away. The police were after him or something. I don't know.
I really hope that's what you do. It turns out the bear was wanted in 48 states.
Ironically, Alaska and Hawaii, he was wanted in. It was the Dakotas. The Dakotas he was not wanted.
He was actually welcomed in Hawaii. Weird. People there just loved him.
So... It was great because like this is all like we kept on like looking up things like how do we get villagers to move away, and basically like no matter what we saw, everything just ended up getting debunked, and it turned out to it's just random chance. It's just a roulette spin. You can be super nice to everyone and super mean to the or totally ignore the animal you don't want there. It wouldn't matter. So he finally like got the prompt, like the little air bubble above his head, like he wanted to say something. So I was like, oh shit, is this it? And I talked to him and he's like, I think I might move away. And I instantly screenshot it, like, yes, I'm going to remember this day that you finally left. So
is there a chance that he comes back?
I don't know. I don't know how that works, but basically he can't move back in unless we have a house available, and we would have to like allow him to do it. But so we do have a house available now, so if he showed up again and tried to move in, we'd have to like
grab the brooms and townspeople and just chase them out.
Right. But if you remember from several weeks ago, I was telling a story about this other character, this chimpanzee character, who he was named Simon, and he was the first character to move out because Dez had started playing the game, and he asked, like, hey, do you think I should move away? And she wanted just to see what would happen. Like, she didn't want him gone. She was like, okay, what is this? And just, like, engaging with the game to see what would happen. And he moved away. And I was bummed about it because I liked that guy. And, like, I took screenshots and I made Dez feel real guilty about it, which I've stopped because she was starting to get real annoyed with me. But there is a way to guarantee that you get certain villagers to move back in, and that is there are amiibo cards, like playing cards.
God.
And they were originally made for the phone game, maybe? Or maybe it was the 3DS. There's a 3DS spin-off game. Anyway. But I found his amiibo card so that I can get Simon to move back to my village. And it cost me $3. So...
is it worth it,
John? I mean, it's $3. I'm not even going to notice that it was gone. So, yeah, I'm totally comfortable with it. But I'm going to have a single Animal Crossing amiibo card. It'll be for Simon. It'll get him to move back in.
I'm going to buy the one for that bear.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
One day.
No. How dare you?
I'm going to build a house. I'm going to visit your island, build a house.
No, that's not how it works.
Just for the bear. Just for the bear. I'm
going to surround his house with a moat.
I don't know why I thought of this, but this kind of made me think of years ago when Mitch and I lived together. He, for a while, just a very short time, he was messing around with The Sims on his computer.
Okay.
And he made a character. It was this really large man. And he would put this cruddy band t-shirt on him and shorts, and he gave him long silver hair, and he kind of looked balding on the top.
Uh-huh.
Built a house. This is how messed up Mitch is, all right? Just fair warning. Built a house, went and found a lady, you know, did all the steps to make her kind of like him and everything, brought her back to his place, led her to a corner of the house, and then walled that corner off. One of the walls became a window in his house. There was a window. And he put the dining kitchen table right in front of the window, and he had like a what was it, the thing for exercise, but the moving floor,
treadmill. Golly,
treadmill, put a treadmill. And so every day his large man would sit down, have a bowl of cereal, and just watch the lady through the window that's trapped in his house.
Creepy.
It was super creepy, dude. And it made me think of this, like, why can't you just wall the bear off in his own home?
So you know, you know what, Dez tried, like, putting fences all around his house. He would just get out. We don't know how he did it. But, like, it's interesting that, like, the Sims is, I guess, is a game that kind of affords you the freedom to kind of do whatever you feel like doing. And his choice was to take a hostage.
Yep, it was really creepy.
A lot about him.
I mean, I'm surprised he didn't, like, dig a big hole and just give her things through a bucket on a rope. Just
yeah, put the lotion on her skin.
Yeah, exactly. It was really creepy.
So, speaking of things that are creepy. Hey, Wes, are video games too long?
Depends on the game.
Right.
Some games can definitely overstay their welcome.
I think that's a fair assessment. I ask because there have been, like, some conversations in and around the internet about the length of games. And I think a lot of it popped up because of that game, The Last of Us Part 2, which is a game I've heard of.
Oh, I'm proud.
Yeah. So, this guy, who I have opinions on, his name is Jason Schreier, and I think he writes for Kotaku.
I don't like him already.
This guy, he's done some really great investigative work, investigative journalism.
What, that, I guess, like the Trump campaign or something? Or no?
No, no, he's not out to expose Trump. Trump doesn't need anyone's help to be exposed.
Real quick, though, since I made that joke.
Go on.
Just to judge this gentleman in his investigative capabilities, if he were to investigate Trump, how good of a job would he do?
He would do fine. He would find some shit. Yeah. Not that it would be difficult, but he could do it. Because what he did, he did a lot of investigative journalism in the game industry about things like abusive workplaces. And he got a lot of people to tell their story about things like verbal abuse and sexual harassment and overworking employees, things like that. So he's done some good work in that arena in exposing this stuff to create better work condition for people who make or program games. So good on him for that. However, his opinions about Xenoblade 2 are wrong. He's just wrong about that game.
He thinks it's too long?
No, I don't remember what he said or what his criticisms of Xenoblade 2 were. I just remember that he didn't like it. So I know that he's...
Oh. What is this dude's name? I'm looking this up right now. What is this dude's name?
Jason Schreier. Just do like Xenoblade 2 Kotaku, I think is his outlet for his review there. And again, I can't even remember what it was he didn't like about it. But I know that...
Yeah, here it is. I found it. This guy looks like one of those, like he would be one of those political investigator guys. He just looks like dirty. I don't know what.
Yeah, his first line about Xenoblade 2 is inelegant and tedious. You know what, dude? You're inelegant and tedious.
Is the anti? Oh, no, stupid ad. No.
Anyway, I'm not. We're not going to talk about his Xenoblade 2 review right now. Everyone just needs to know that he is wrong.
He really is. That game is wonderful.
Yeah. I love Xenoblade 2. I really like
it. I didn't love the first Xenoblade Chronicles. He didn't like the first one, so why on earth would he...
Right. I didn't like this game. Let me review the sequel.
Yeah, exactly. Like, why would they hire this dude to do this again? Like, you really disliked Xenoblade Chronicles. Do you want to do number two?
I don't know. Maybe it was, like, a good faith effort to where he's like, you know, I didn't really like the first one, but maybe the second one will turn me around, and you approach it with an open mind. Doesn't matter how open his mind was. He ended up being wrong anyway. So, he sent out a tweet, because I think he also reviewed The Last of Us Part 2, a game that I've heard of, also for Kotaku, I think he reviewed it, and there's been some criticisms about that game, about like the pacing and the length of it, about like it overstaying its welcome a little bit. And during like that sort of conversation, he tweeted out on Twitter, a social media platform I've heard of, and he just said, video games are too long. just a blanket statement, devoid of nuance. Just video games are too long.
This guy sounds like a tool.
And you know, when you put out a blanket statement devoid of nuance, expect a reaction that is devoid of nuance. Because just saying video games in general are too long, like, to what are you referring? Like, Animal Crossing doesn't really have an end. World of Warcraft, like, continues to build on itself. Like, there's no, like, end. So how do you qualify those things as too long? How do you qualify a game like... Oh, what was the game I liked recently that was pretty short? Okay. Oh, Limbo or Inside. Like, indie games that are meant to be, like, 3 hours long. Are those too long? Like, there's no, like, qualifiers in there to clarify what you are saying. So don't expect people to react the right way. There are certainly games that I think overstay their welcome. Like, a lot of the Mario and Luigi games. The Superstar Saga, the RPGs, on the handheld system, DS, 3DS, Game Boy Advance. Those games, I think that most of them are a little bit too lengthy, especially in the end game, because you get to, like, the final castle, and it takes, like, a couple hours to work through them. When, you know, the game should be wrapping up and getting you to the end, it's just layering more stuff on there. So I think that there is a balance that games need to achieve, like, how artfully have we used all of the mechanics that we've introduced, and are we now just piling on top of it to make the game longer to give some sort of perceived value? Because I think a lot of, like, really long games, like especially in the RPG arena, a lot of it comes out of an era where it used to be, like, a bragging point. Like, especially when you, like, get to, like, the GameCube and the PS2. It was like, this game is 60 hours long. Doesn't that sound awesome? And at the time, it did sound awesome. The longer the game, the better. But I think that now there's so many games available that if a game, like Resident Evil 4 is a really amazing game, and I think that by the time you get to the end, it just turns into this, like, all-out run-and-gun action game that they probably could have shaved a couple hours off of and been better for.
Yeah. By the time you get to the last island, you're like, all right, can I just please wrap this up?
Right.
The president's daughter is starting to really annoy me. I want to get her out of my way.
Did Mike have to be in the game? Did they
Oops,
have to...
off the mountain. I don't...
Ugh. But yeah, I think that there are games that overstay their welcome, but by the same token, I think there are games that, you know, I think we could stand to see a bit more of. Like, Xenoblade is a really long game, and, like, Xenoblade, I think, is a really good example. Like, that is a game that, now that I'm playing through it again, it moves at a breakneck pace. You really have to, like, stop and try to do side quests to make that game the 100-hour experience that it can turn into. I think if you critical path that game, you can probably get through it in, like, 40 hours. Like, it is brisk. I'm at 35 hours right now on my play clock. And I've spent 25 of those hours side questing. You can really zip through Xenoblade.
I'm glancing through his article here and there, and I will say I will agree with one thing he's addressed in the Xenoblade article, and it's his hatred for Tora. And how there are no bonds. Like, all right, at least he got that right.
Well, you know, it's weird because I don't know what it is about RPGs, especially Japanese developed RPGs, but there's this desire or tradition, maybe, of having, like, these cutesy little animal characters, and you see it, like, back in the original Final Fantasy entries with things like Moogles and Chocobos and the things that sort of, like, get maintained throughout the series. And it's the same with Xenoblade. Like, the Nopon are just, like, this persistent species throughout all of the games, and I'm not sure why that someone at Monolith must really love the Nopon and think that it's, like, part of the series identity. I don't think it has to be. I think no. You can make a Xenoblade without Nope on. I think they should try it. See how it feels.
Yeah.
And I don't really have any particular like dislike of the Nope on. Like I'm neutral. I'm Nope on agnostic. Because most of the cutscenes are skippable, so I don't have to deal with them ever. But I don't know. Just try one. See how it feels, Monolith. I know you're listening.
Yeah.
But you know, I think like the bigger issue that I wanted to talk about with like the length of video games is that I think that most of the time people that review video games, game journalists, game critics, whatever they want to call themselves, I think that they play games wrong. Because I think that they get a copy for review, they have a deadline, they want to have their review available as early as possible, as early as the publisher will allow them to publish. And sometimes they're trying to make their way through, you know, even games that aren't as lengthy, you know, 30, 40 hour games, like, aren't as much of a time sink, I guess, to be really obvious about it, as a game that's 100, 120 hours long. Like, you can get through a 30 or 40 hour game, you know, at a relatively good pace. But I think they even try to get through those too quickly. Like, if you only have a couple of weeks to get through a 30 or 40 hour game, like, the game probably wasn't intended to be played through that quickly. Mm. And I think that you have to consider what the developer was, how the developer intended you to play the game, rather than, you know, I got 3 weeks to get this review code and I have to play this 60-hour game, so I'm going to hate myself by the time I'm at the end of it, because, you know, a responsible reviewer would try to get through as much of the game as possible, ideally finishing it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you're not going to want to engage with a lot of the side stuff. You're going to feel the weight of, like, having to grind if you have to grind in an RPG, or doing a lot of side quests if the game wants you to engage with a lot of side quests. I don't know. I think games aren't intended to be consumed most of the time over a weekend. You know, there are games that are, of course, short like that, but I think it would be a disservice to, you know, think that every game should be shorter, especially because it seems like a game critic is coming from the perspective of games should be shorter so my job is easier, or so they're more palatable for me. Most people aren't game journalists or game critics.
Yeah, exactly. Especially if when these games are like $60-some a pop. You don't want to burn through that over a weekend.
Yeah.
You don't have $60 to drop every week on a game because you beat the last one last week. I mean...
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, I totally agree. You want to get some value out of the purchase that you made. And, you know, money means different things to different people, but it doesn't mean anything to you if you're getting review code for free, you know?
Yep.
So, you know, if I paid, and I try not to let the price of something kind of influence my perspective of it too much, but if I paid $60 for a game and it was done in 2 hours, I'd be like, where's the rest of it? Why did I buy a demo? Why did I pay $60 for a demo? So, and then, you know, I think Trials of Mana is a pretty good example of that. Like, that is a game that came out, I think it was $50 when it came out, now that I think of it. So mm-hmm. A little bit of a budget title, but there was the demo of the game, I think, could last like 3 or 4 hours.
And yeah, like, around there. I knocked it out around 3.
And, like, the game itself is about 25. So it's not a long game, but I think that it was an appropriate length for what they were building there, for that sort of a little action RPG.
With some replayability.
Yeah, precisely. You can get double your game out of there if you want to complete it with every party member. So, yeah, I mean, just to repeat what I said at the beginning, I don't think that games are made for reviewers to consume the way they consume them. There are games that are like meant to be like, this is your game, you paid $60 for it, we're not going to assume you're going to buy a game next week, you know? The game designers shouldn't be assuming like that the reviewer has 2 weeks to get through the game before they have to move on to the next thing. Mm. And most people don't play that games. Most people aren't like obsessive video game players like we are, to where, you know, we'll buy games even though we're not finished with the ones we've already purchased. We'll, you know, try to get through a game to the end and then move on to the next one immediately. You know, there's an enthusiast audience that does play games that way, but by and large, like, even among the enthusiast audience, like, not everyone is consuming the games at such a rapid pace like that a game reviewer would. Anyway, his statement was stupid, and he's stupid. He's wrong about Xenoblade.
Yeah, I don't like him.
So, I have been playing Xenoblade.
Have you?
Yeah.
I haven't.
It's real good. You should. It's a real good game.
I hate
game.
Myself for not doing it, but I haven't.
Well, I mean, somebody's got to play World of Warcraft, right?
I know. Somebody's got to I'm doing really poorly in that game right now, too, and it's making me sad.
How do you do poorly in World of Warcraft?
It's a very mechanically heavy game.
Okay.
So you got to know what the rotation for your character and what is the most optimal build for your character and what kind of stats, and then you have to, like, kind of farm for those items to make them at that point. Like, it's a very grindy, very mechanically oriented game. And the other day I did... They have raids, which are, you know, really big dungeons. They have dungeons, they have raids. And they have different tiers of the dungeons and dungeons in the raids. There's, like, a raid finder, which is the bare minimum, normal, heroic, and mythic. I did my first heroic the other day of the raid, the big raid that everybody's doing right now, and my damage was just pitiful compared to everybody else. And according to my gear and everything like that, I should be out doing everybody else. Well, not everybody, but some of the other people, and I just can't. Like, I was like half their damage. I just can't do it.
So, what's holding you back there? Like, yeah,
I don't know. I'm trying to figure out. I'm pretty sure it's mechanics, and I think I'm just not attacking, and I'm wasting too much time trying to survive. So it's just things like that. But, you know, that's that game. It's
well, no, it is cool. Like, when you have a game that requires that sort of, like, engagement and attention to detail, to, you know, have to, like, be paying attention to all the different types of equipment you have on, what sort of, like, augments or bonuses, like, that those equipments are affording you, and, like, what you can switch out, what's going to give you your optimal build, what sort of skills that you're using and equipping and mixing and matching to have an ideal build for a character, you know, where your cooldowns are going to be, like, how your skill tree is going to kind of come into effect, like, what sort of bonuses you're going to be getting for performing different actions. And I'm not talking about World of Warcraft anymore. Now I'm talking about Xenoblade. So you should play that game.
Very nice. Very nice.
Because a lot of what you're describing about World of Warcraft is stuff that you have to do with Xenoblade too.
Well, it's mostly, yeah, it's just, yeah, it's, yeah, yeah. Xenoblade's fantastic. Play it. Everyone listening should play it.
Mm-hmm.
All three of you listening should play it. And yes, I'm counting John when he re-listens to edit this. All three of you should play it.
I am playing it. I might be playing it as I'm editing this. The other day, I wasn't even doing anything. I was just, like, walking around picking up collectibles for about 20 minutes. And I was like, wait, what am I doing? What side quest am I working on right now? Because I would, like, run through an area. I'm like, oh, okay, my objective isn't too far. I won't fast travel this, and I'll just run. And I'm like, oh, there's a collectible, and I'll go grab it. Like, oh, there's three collectibles, and I'll grab those. And then by the time I, like, look up, I'm like, wait, who did I need to kill again? But, two or three days, I've been like, I put the narrative on pause, and I've just been doing side quests again.
How far are you?
I am about to go to Prison Island.
Oh, yes. I have not gotten that far.
Well, I'm about to get one of the big reveals in the game, which I won't spoil now.
Okay. The game, I know what it is, because you have spoiled it for me in the past.
Yeah, the game is a series of big reveals.
Yeah, it's so good, which... It doesn't feel like that when you're playing it, but then a big reveal comes and you're like, they have these in this?
Yeah.
Like, what is this?
Well, because it's such a simple setup. Like, hey, let's go kill the robots. Like, hell yeah, let's go kill the robots. And then you start getting, like, to all, like, all of this, like, mythology and world building in the game. And, like, wait, who are these people with the wings on their heads? What is the Telethia? What is going on here? But anyway,
why is this little hamster rabbit following me around and keeps saying meh every time?
does he have to? Does he have to walk with me?
I don't need to put him in my party. All right. Well, you get to sit in the back burner forever.
I do have good news though. Ricky, the No Pawn in Xenoblade 1, he does not say meh meh over and over again.
Oh yeah, that's a Tora thing.
Yeah,
that's a Tora thing.
And it was annoying.
I briefly remember him, and I do remember him being. I think I like Tora more than him, because he was just Ricky. Subtly Bound was incredibly just. God, I hate that guy.
He's quite chatty.
And God, I hate that guy.
And he talks in the third person.
Well, all of them do.
Oh, that's true. Anyway. Yeah. So, did you ever finish Final Fantasy VII?
Like, in general? Or the place... The remake.
Yeah,
the remake. No, I did not. Because I got distracted by Xenoblades and World of Warcraft and things.
Fair enough.
I can't beat a game right now. It's driving me insane. I can't give my attention fully to a game because I'm like, oh yeah, I had to go run Mythics because the chest is available tomorrow.
You just need to hang up World of Warcraft for like a month.
Time walking is going on this week. I had to go make my time walking runs. Oh god,
for a month, I need to go back into quarantine.
Well, I can't because if I don't get certain things done now, the expansion's going to come out and I'll never get a chance to do them.
The game is holding you hostage.
It is.
You're like the lady in Mitch's house.
It's oh my god. Nice callback. Okay, so we were talking about Xenoblade.
Yeah.
We keep getting sidetracked with my unhealthy obsession. That's
pretty much all I wanted to say about Xenoblade right now. Because just doing side quests and mixing up the party, having fun. Because when I'm back on the critical path, I pretty much have like my set like main path party right now.
Dunban, Shulk, and the healer chick.
Sharla. Yeah, well, Sharla. It kind of like...
I almost said Carla. I was like, that's not right.
Sometimes it's Dunban, sometimes it's Rein, just depending on like how much of a tank that I need.
It is Rein time.
It's always Rein time.
It is always Rein time.
But other than that...
I just want a watch that just says Rein time on all the hours.
That's good. I'm just about done. I'm almost done. I got like two, three more levels of Mega Man ZX Advent, which is a DS Mega Man game. It is the last game in my Mega Man Zero collection that I bought back in February, so I will be done with that. ZX Advent, I like. When I talked about ZX last month, I talked about the sort of a world map construction where they try to go for this more Metroid thing where you have all these different areas that connect with each other and branch off. ZX Advent takes a different approach. It's similar to a Metroid where you have areas that are interconnected, but it gives you a lot more warp points, fast travels, and it's not as intricate as ZX. You don't have like as many areas crisscrossing between. It's like, okay, this area is going to take you to this stage, and that stage isn't going to connect to anything else. You'll just be done with it. And you have like a couple of hub areas, and when they splinter off, they split off to more isolated things, which I think works better for a Mega Man-style game. ZX Advent also has a ton of different like transformations. So, you know, like in a Mega Man or a Mega Man X, you get the Robot Master powers. And in ZX Advent, you do have like extra Robot Master powers, but you also have enemies that you just completely transform into, which is interesting. And it gives you like a bunch of different like power-ups that you can use to like break down different walls or access different areas. It is more like a Metroid game in that sense. It can be a little bit tedious to like flip between the different transformations you want to make. So I think that if the series had continued forward from here, it would have been interesting to see like them kind of scale back on transforming the different things and rather like, give you like more unique, interesting power-ups in order to get the same sort of Metroid-like puzzle-solving and traversal, but have it be a little bit more streamlined so you don't have to like fiddle with menus. But the series did not continue on from Mega Man ZX Advent. This was the last original Mega Man game, kind of outside of Mega Man 9 and Mega Man 10, which are more retro style. This is like the last like modern take on a Mega Man until you get like Mega Man 11, which came out last year. And I think ZX Advent must have been 2008 or 2009. So it was a long time before, you know, they made another modern game again, which is a shame because I think that they were going in a good direction with ZX and ZX Advent. The Mega Man Zero games on GBA, I talked about a couple of months ago. They're interesting pieces of history, but they're definitely intended for replay. Like, they want you to go through them over and over again, as you would if you were a child on a card trip. You can get through these games quickly, but in order to get through them optimally, you're going to need to play through them again and again. Whereas ZX and ZX Advent were more modern games in that you could see all of it in a single playthrough, and it was it gave you more opportunities to get all of the collectibles and power-ups and stuff. So ZX and ZX Advent, I think, are definitely, like, those two games alone are worth the Mega Man collection, and like all of the Zero GBA games are cool little bonuses, like little pieces of history that you're able to access if you want. So the last game that I've been playing that I just wanted to knock out real quick is a game on the Super Nintendo Online thing on Switch. It is Operation Logic Bomb. It's a Super Nintendo game I had never heard of. And one of the cool things about the Super Nintendo Online stuff and the NES Online stuff is that they will release these more obscure games, probably because like the bigger third-party publishers want to hang on to their own games and release them as collections, like Capcom and Konami. But
we don't speak that name here.
They hate us.
Yeah.
So, Operation Logic Bomb, I'd never heard of, and it's cool if like these obscure games are getting released on this, because like it's a pretty neat game. Think of it like a top-down Contra level in Contra 3, except it has a little bit more like maze-like elements to it, almost like a really light Metroid, where you know you have to go to different, basically levels of I suppose a tower or something that you're in, and hit a switch that activates a warp point on a previous floor. You go back to it, that shoots you up to like an elevator to a different floor, that kind of thing. Defeat all the enemies in a room. Kind of Zelda-ish in that way. Defeat all the enemies in a room that reveals or opens a door. You also have different weapons that you get. Weapons that will like bounce off walls. You get a flamethrower. And different weapons are going to be situational, where you know you need to bounce your laser off a wall in order to hit a computer that you need to destroy on the other side in order to open up the door. So, you know, it's a cool game, and you can get through it pretty quickly. I think like 2 hours you can knock it out. But, you know, video games are too long. And,
yes.
And I recommend it. There is a boss fight in the game that is infuriatingly annoying because he ricochets weapons off, or his projectiles off of walls, and you have to fight him where you're like on a narrow platform, like you're on a dock or something, and he's just kind of like floating out in the sea or in space, and he has all this real estate to move back and forth, and you have hardly any, and there are all these obstacles in the way that like will block your line of fire but then also give him an advantage because his shots ricochet off of walls. So that's a bit of an annoying boss fight. I ended up watching a video of someone else doing it to see if there was anything useful, and no, there was nothing useful about how to beat that boss. So I've used save states to get through that one.
Ugh.
Yeah. But we got some breaking news. Speaking of the Super Nintendo Online, just today, actually a few hours ago at the time we were recording this, there were some new games announced being added to the NES and the Super Nintendo Online. Donkey Kong Country.
Ooh.
They are finally releasing on their online service. Just the first
That's
one.
That's always a good one.
Yep.
That's always a good one.
Not the second or the third one yet. But yeah, that's one that's essential. Like this one needs to be on there, so it's good they're finally adding it. And it is going live on the 15th. And there's a second Super Nintendo game called Natsume Championship Wrestling. So if you've ever wondered to yourself, what would a wrestling game from the makers of Harvest Moon be like? Now you'll have the chance to find out.
Oh.
So, I mean, there are a couple of like sport or sport adjacent games on the service. Like there's a tennis game. They aren't particularly my thing, so I probably won't try this one. And the last one that they're adding is an NES game. This one's called The Immortal. And this is an obscure one that I'd never heard of. I did a little bit of research on Wikipedia before we started recording. And it's an Apple II game that got ported to a bunch of different things. And it's like a isometric, they describe it as an action-adventure game, which is such a broad concept that hardly means anything. But it looks a little bit RPG-ish. I don't know, maybe
they describe it as a game.
Not only a game, but a game I've heard of. So, I don't know. It definitely has some high fantasy aesthetics to it. Like, you play as a wizard. There's shit like goblins and trolls, which makes me think of like more RPG tropes. So maybe it's a little bit RPG-ish. But I don't know. There's a lot of other games that I'm playing right now, so I don't suspect that I will be engaging with The Immortal anytime soon. I'll probably give Donkey Kong Country a playthrough, see how far I get when it comes out, because that's a game that can be zipped through pretty quickly.
Yeah.
But the other day I was like looking at, because CrossCode is coming out in a couple of days, I'm still playing Xenoblade, and I was looking at my GameCube collection, and I was looking at Baten Kaitos Origins again, because I never finished it, and I was like, you know what, I'm gonna sit down, I'm gonna finish this game this time, like starting on Wednesday, I got a day off, I'm gonna plug it back in. And tonight I was like thinking about it, like, what the fuck am I thinking? I am in the middle of playing Xenoblade, a CrossCode, which is a 30 to 80 hour RPG, which is fucking bullshit, comes out in a couple of days, and I'm gonna start another RPG? No, I'm not doing that.
It's a terrible idea.
Yeah.
It's a terrible idea.
It's ridiculous. But I do want to borrow Final Fantasy VII.
I mean, you need a PS4 first.
Yeah, that's true. I'm hoping that we get, we'll find out in a few days because of reasons. But hopefully we get another government stimulus check at some point. Not because, you know, partly because it'd be fun for me to get more money, but also because there are people who really need it. I don't particularly need it right now, but who knows? We might shut down again.
Yeah, that was hilarious. The government stimulus check came out, and suddenly I can't keep TVs stocked in my store. Mm. I'm like, okay, good that you're using this thing that's intended for food and survival. And you do need that 55-inch Samsung to survive.
That does sound great to me. I'd like one of those. But, you know, I mean, I don't want to pass judgment on how people are using their money. Like, the point of it was to stimulate the economy, to keep the economy running. I'm sure most people spend it on essentials, things that they needed, or at least a good chunk of it. And, you know, from an economic standpoint, if people like have the money already to buy the essentials they need, and they're just gonna blow the government money on TVs, it's from the perspective of a vibrant economy, it's better that they spend it rather than stick it in the bank.
Yeah,
because that money's just being put back out there. So, hooray, irresponsibility! But yeah. I mean, if we got another one, that's exactly what I would do. Like,
just grab a PS4.
Yeah. So what we did with the last one, like as I'm lecturing about like put your money back into the economy, what we did with the last one is we stuck half of it in the bank in case things shut down and we weren't getting paid, and then we spent a little bit of it and then made a big car payment on Dez's car, and that's probably what we would do again. Is we, you know, stick a bunch in the bank. Make another nice big payment for Dez's car, and then buy a TV and a PS4.
I mean, you can do both of those for, like, under $7.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah, and there are a bunch of PS4 games I could get on the cheap that would last me a long, long time. Like,
I mean, I have a large library, so I mean, that would last you a long, long time.
Yeah, because like I want to try Horizon Zero Dawn. That game looks cool. Do you have that one?
I do.
Okay.
Right now, it's not in my possession. My coworker is borrowing it because he's never played through it, because it is a fantastic game. And it, I believe the sequel is a launch game for the PS5.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see if the PS5 launches. They got plans.
And then there's a Miles Morales Spider-Man game coming out as well, probably at launch.
Both of those look
real good.
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. See if that happens or not.
Both those games look cool. Horizon Zero Dawn I was always interested in. That game's like $20. Mm-hmm. And like Persona 5 is like $20. And those two games alone would last me a long, long time.
What do I got here? My cord's a little long. I can walk over here and skip off. What do I got here there, Peter? I got, I don't know if you like the Infamous games. They're good. I like them.
Meh.
There is the Dishonored games.
Meh.
The Ratchet and Clanks. There is... I don't think you'll like the Shadow Mordor games.
Meh.
God of War. Dragon Age.
Meh. Like, Dragon Age I can get on Switch.
Skyrim? No, this is Dragon Age Inquisition.
Oh, okay. Mm.
You can't get that on Switch.
I can get Skyrim on Switch.
You can get Skyrim on Switch, but you're not going to.
No. No, I am not.
I mean, come on, man. Skyrim's so good.
Eh.
So good.
But I was actually looking... several weeks ago, I was looking at, like, my PS3 wishlist, because I never owned a PS3 on Amazon, and I was looking at the PS4 wishlist, and I was like, you know what? If I was going to get one of these two, I'd just go for a PS4 at this point, because a lot of the stuff that is on my PS3 wishlist just ends up coming out on Switch. Games like BioShock. That was the big one, because other than that, I still got, like, Final Fantasy 13 on a wishlist.
God, I love BioShock.
But yeah. I gotta get to that one eventually. Have to see what games we've got coming out in August and toward the end of the year. Because
I mean, if you end up grabbing a PS4, just grab the collection on PS4 because it would be cheaper.
Yeah, that's true.
And it'll look better.
Yeah, but yeah, we'll find out, because the Congress, the House of Representatives in the United States, there are two legislative bodies, the House of Representatives and the Senate. The House of Representatives passed a bill in order to get more stimulus checks out to people so that they can survive during a pandemic. The Senate has not voted on it yet. The Senate goes into recess in August, so they got a few more weeks in order to do something if they're going to do anything at all. I think they will, if only because Republicans are deeply unpopular right now, and Republicans control the Senate. So in order to try to salvage a little bit of popularity, I think there's a decent chance they try to do something here.
Trump will spin it, so it sounds like it was all his idea.
It's funny, because we'll wrap up with this one little tidbit of American politics. The first government stimulus check that they sent out, Trump wanted his name on it. He wanted to sign it as if he was sending money out to people. He couldn't, because it was the U.S. government sending the check out. So the check was from the U.S. government, not him. So he couldn't put his name personally on it. So instead of like putting his name, like his signature, like who it's from, he put his signature in the memo line, like where your grandparents write happy birthday on the check that they send you. He put his name there and put a letter like, I'm sending you this money. Well, you're not. Anyway, the U.S. House of Representatives passed a law that made it illegal for him to put his name anywhere on any future checks coming from the U.S. government.
Oh, that's so good.
So a nice big middle finger.
Just time that we did not need to waste, but we needed to.
Yep.
Oh.
All right. Anything else?
Somebody sat down and wrote that. Oh, that's hilarious.
Uh-huh. You got anything else you want to address before we close it out here?
No, I think we're pretty good. We got the poker show tomorrow. I got one thing I want to discuss, but I don't want to wait for Ryan for it.
Okay.
It's an audio book.
Okay,
so
good.
I'll wait for Ryan to discuss that one.
Yeah, let's do it. Well, tomorrow, of course, it won't post told
you actually them. Will find this interesting. Not enough to actually, you know, listen to an audiobook, but you will find it interesting.
I don't have a cassette player in my car. How am I going to listen to an audiobook? So, what we'll do is this show will post relatively soon. I'm going to get this up, if you're listening, on July 8th. This show will post. And then we're actually going to record another show on July 8th, but that one we'll post till a week after. So, we'll kind of give ourselves one in the can and we'll be able to pad this out a little bit. Anyway, that was a little inside baseball. So on the next show, we'll do a Pokemon quiz game. We'll talk about audiobooks for some reason.
Yep, you get to listen to John beat me in another Pokemon game.
Well, you know,
I haven't won one in years, man.
Years?
Year. Like, literally, I could say that. It's been years since I've won one.
I mean, it's also been like 6 months since we've done one. So
Yeah, but that doesn't change the fact. It's been years since I've won one.
You could cheat.
I could cheat.
We're doing distance now.
I do have this other monitor. Yeah. You won't know.
No, we'll have no idea.
We'll have to come across a gentleman's agreement. I'll have to reposition my camera to strictly be on the PCs.
And Wes, you got a perfect score. Good job.
Yeah, no problem.
All right. That's it. That's the end. Until next time, everybody.
So long.